Hi, I'm Pat Kelly.
And I'm Peter Oldring, and we're the hosts of This Is That.
Are you kidding?
For over a decade, we were radio's go-to source for completely fabricated news.
You must be joking me.
And now, we're back in podcast form.
We've selected some of our favorite stories from over the years and put them in one convenient location.
Sugar in the tap water.
Bilingual dog park. Charging to see wildlife.
This Is That, coming soon on CBC Listen and everywhere you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Welcome to Laugh Out Loud. I'm your host, Ali Hassan, and today we've got a lot of comedy to get to, so let's do this. We start the show with a friend of mine who was part of the New Faces of Comedy last year at the Just for Laughs Festival. From Winnipeg, here is Mike Green.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much for coming out. Yeah, actually, I did go to the States recently, and it's very different in the States compared to Canada for me personally, because I'm very racially ambiguous in Canada, right? Because we're like a melting pot. We have lots of everybody, so people are always, you know, interested. They say, what are you? They find me interesting. But yeah, I went to the States, and nobody found me interesting. They just found me Mexican. Not a single person said, what are you? They're just like, no, that's a little Latino. We got a lot of you. Andale, andale. Yeah. Chase me out of their trash, right? Yeah. I went to a Mexican restaurant when I was there. I ordered in English. The lady answered me in Spanish. I said, I'm sorry, I only speak English. She just repeated what she had said in Spanish more slowly. That means she couldn't believe I wasn't Mexican. It was easier to believe I was stupid. It was quite hurtful. I look this way actually because my mom is Chinese. She has no idea what I do at all. Whatsoever. She came here too late in life. She didn't assimilate at all. She has very bad English. She doesn't really understand what I do. I remember I was leaving to go to a show one time, and she looked at me and said, oh, you go to do your talk show? I was like, yeah, that's right, Mom. I'm a talk show. That's what I do. That's what I do when I leave the house. Yeah. She's actually an amazing... I love my mom. She's a very amazing lady. She's ethnically Chinese, but she was born in Vietnam. She escaped communist Vietnam, and she was in a refugee camp, and she could have gone to Australia, but she decided to stay in the refugee camp. Why would she do that? Great question, sir. Great question. She stayed because her younger brother and sister weren't accepted into Australia, and she didn't want to leave them alone. So she stayed in the camp until they could all go somewhere together, and that was ultimately Canada. Yeah. And it was easier to get into Canada if you were younger. You don't have to applaud for that. She's not here. She can't hear you. But yeah, it was easier to get into Canada if you were younger, so she lied on her application and made herself younger, which she always calls a big joke with her broken English. A big joke on the Canadian government. And she laughs, and she laughs. Yeah. 30 years later, the joke would be on her, because she cannot legally retire, unfortunately, now. It's very serious, actually. Yeah. She found out big jokes lead to big consequences. That's what she found out. She has to work till she's 82 years old. And she's missing out on a lot of pension money, but that's just the high stakes you play for in the refugee game. Some of you aren't laughing at that. Again, you can laugh at that. She's not here, okay? She can't hear us right now. She's not here. She's at home resting. She's got a big work day tomorrow. Big work day. Big jokes lead to big work days. I feel okay joking about her because, like I said, she can't hear us. And also, she let me do fencing when I was younger, so I blame her for that. The amount of bullying I went through in high school. Fencing, terrible sport to put your kids into if you don't want them to get bullied. It's not a cool sport, okay? You know it's not a cool sport because Disney has done nothing to monetize the children's fencing market. If a sport is cool, Disney, they will make a movie for you. They got the Mighty Ducks for hockey, right? Even dance kids have Step Up, right? Or Step Up to the Streets, you know? They make movies if a kid's sport is cool enough. As a fencing kid, what was my movie? Just The Princess Bride. That's all I had. Being a big fan of The Princess Bride doesn't save you from getting bullied on the playground. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, it's also a dumb sport because people, like, they don't understand it. They think it's like a martial art. They don't understand. It's not really good for anything. Just you're like, oh, if you got mugged, could you use the fencing to defend yourself? I can't even use the fencing to defend myself if I get in a sword fight, okay? It's only good for fencing. Those aren't real blades. They're too thin. They're too weak, you know? Like, oh, could you use the fencing to defend yourself? Yeah, sure. If there was a stick nearby. But I would need it to be a very specific kind of stick. Again, it's such a specific sort of flexibility to the blade, or else, you know, I'm useless out there, you know? So yeah, if there was a stick nearby, then I could use the fencing to defend myself in a mugging. If I could get the mugger to agree on what target zone we were using. Very important in fencing. What is the target? I was foil. That's the smallest target zone. It's only torso, no arms, and the bib actually protects quite a bit of your neck as well. So if I can get the mugger to agree that the neck is off target, we're not neck stabbing, then I'm good, you know? Then I can use the fencing to defend myself. If the mugging happens in a brightly lit gymnasium. With my dad nearby, but not paying attention, okay? To be clear, he's there because he had to drive me to the mugging, and there's not enough time between the start and the end of the mugging for him to go home, so he's stuck reading a book. But yeah, if all that happens, then I would still need a glove. But yeah. I would need a glove to keep my knuckles safe, but after that, I would be good, yeah. That's where I'm at. Tell you another thing about my life is that my girlfriend and I just started living together, which is nice. I've never lived with anyone before, so, you know, big adjustment for me. It's going good. Yeah. She just moved into my place. The only thing I don't like about it is she's always there now, you know? Nobody really made that clear to me. I kind of thought I'd get her couch and then she would leave for a while, but we're working through it. No, it's good. It's just, I have too many adjustments to make, and I'm very selfish because, like I said, I never thought I'd be living with someone, and I was happy on my own. So now I got to make adjustments, and it comes across as selfish, but I don't know. It's weird. Like, I didn't want a joint grocery shop. She was very insulted by that. She's like, oh, you don't want to commit? It's like, we live together. We're committed. It's just, I'm not trying to not commit. I'm trying to protect you, okay? You haven't spent the last 15 years training your stomach to process expired meat the way I have. Right? You don't want to shop the way I shop. Looking exclusively for meat with pink stickers on it, right? That's how I know it's meat for Mikey. That's how I know it's Mikey meat, is when it has the pink sticker on it, right? I always find that funny. Enjoy it tonight, right? I'm like, is that a challenge, Safeway? You don't know me. I'll enjoy it in the parking lot if I'm saving $2 on red meat, okay? Yeah. I have a lot of psycho eating habits and shopping habits I've cultivated from a lifetime just looking out for myself and being in stand-up. I only work 15 to 45 minutes a night. So I go to the grocery store every morning just because I have the spare time. I hang out there. I loiter. I make friends with the grocery ladies. They tell me where the deals are, right? So I don't want her to know all my psycho eating habits. I don't want her to know I have a two-banana system that I refuse to compromise. This is where I only ever buy two bananas at a time. Because I'm very specific about the ripeness that I want to enjoy my bananas at. They need to be a little bit green, pretty firm, good for my smoothies, right? Yeah, I'm not willing to compromise on that. I've traded a lot, all the stability of the regular lives that you people have, to be able to get bananas I want. You people, you have regular jobs. You don't get to grocery shop every day. So you have to buy a whole bunch of bananas. And then you can't enjoy those at the freshness, possibly, that you like. You got this whole freezer full of lies, eventually. This brown banana, you tell yourself, I've never eaten a brown banana in my life, okay? And I will never eat a brown banana. I also will never have an RRSP or a family, but these are the things that I compromise for my art, right? Yeah. So that means it's great. I always know how many bananas I have. You have a bunch of bananas. You don't know how many you have. You don't know where you're at. I know I either have two bananas, I'm full of banana, or I'm on banana situation critical, right? Emergency banana. And then I don't leave the house without thinking, where am I getting another banana? You know, so it's good. I don't want a joint grocery shop. You know, the risks we'd run with that? She's entitled to my bananas now? That means I could come home thinking I have an emergency banana and she's eaten it? Do you realize what a pain in that's going to be? I could be mid-smoothie, realize I don't have a banana. I got to stop. I got to go to Safeway. I got to buy another banana. I got to come home. I got to pack up all her stuff. I got to put it in the street. It's going to be such a pain. Yeah. But I think we'll probably stay together. I think we'll make it because as a couple, we're the same. That's very important to me. I don't support mixed couples. You know, ethnically, I'm fine with it, okay? It's glasses, no glasses. I don't like that, all right? And actually, we both have glasses. Right now, I'm wearing my contacts because that's the only way I feel confident on stage. And yeah, you people who don't have glasses, you don't understand the struggle we go through. And that's why I say, like, a mixed couple, you're never gonna last. It's an imbalance. You know, I'm on your side. So, you know, like, I realize it's just, like, you people who don't know what we go through. When you don't have glasses, you can't understand the struggle. It's a struggle to feel confident. It's a struggle, obviously, having bad vision. But that's not even the worst part about having glasses, all right? The worst part about having glasses is if your glasses get knocked off your face, you can't help but say, "My glasses!" It just comes out of you. That's not who I am. I've worked my whole life not to be "my glasses," you know? I go to the gym all the time, but it doesn't matter how strong I am. If my glasses get knocked off my face, I panic because they mean so much to you, right? It's your ability to see. It's like hundreds of dollars. So you just turn into this loser, you know? Nobody step. Everybody shuffle, right? Stop laughing. Help me look. You know? Doesn't matter if you're French. Mes lunettes, you know? It's just, it's embarrassing. I went on a date with a woman, and I was wearing my contacts. This was a long time ago. I was wearing my contacts, and I wanted to feel confident. But halfway through the date, my eye was dry. I scratched my eye. My contact lens folded up and fell out. Yeah, I caught it right in front of her, though. Now I'm just wincing across the table at this woman. Yeah. In that moment, I would have killed for my contact. I wish that's what I said, okay? What I actually said was I said, ah! I just let out this cowardly moan. Like I was a little kid and a bigger kid punched me on the playground, right? I need an adult. Yeah, not a successful date, suffice it to say. Okay, they don't go home with you when they see a piece of your face fall out of your face. They don't want to see your weak genetics on display, right? That's a pro tip for anybody here on a date. You can't just start losing body parts and expect to go home with somebody, okay? You can't just start coughing up teeth like chiclets. Like, you want to get out of here? Like, no, they want to get out of there. Not with you, though. You're gross. I will get out of here right away, but I will say it's, you know, it's just nice to be out again, right? I don't want to, you know, harken back to a worse time in all of our lives, but let's just be real. It wasn't that long ago that we couldn't all be here in the same room breathing each other's air, right? Yeah. COVID's over, baby. We beat it. Yeah. I've actually got a pretty sore throat right now, but... I was hanging out with some dogs last week. I think it's kennel cough. Don't worry. I'm good. Yeah. No, I don't want to... I don't want to go back. I'm not too brave. I'm not too cool to admit it. I was a mess, okay? I can't go back. March 2020, that was a terrible time. I panicked, all right? And I don't think it was my fault, frankly. I think we were getting terrible information, and they made it as scary as possible, right? If you remember that, they were saying things like, don't even go to the grocery store if you can help it. We don't know how you catch this. Don't even go to the grocery store. Just stay home. Eat what's in your pantry. Oh, thanks, Government of Canada. Thanks for making a huge presumption about how much food I have in my pantry and how good I am at combining it, right? This isn't an episode of Chopped, okay? I'm not coming up with crazy food combinations with leftovers, all right? March 2020, my signature dish was a little something called peanut butter and poor man's crackers. Poor man's crackers. You're thinking saltines? No, my own fingers, okay? That's what I was doing. I'm nom, right out of the jar for 2 weeks straight. I'm doing my part. I'm flattening the curve, right? Together, apart. I said that at a show once, and a guy came up to me after. He was like, yo, man, you ever try mayo in your own fingers? Yeah, I was horrified. I was like, sir, I haven't even done peanut butter in my own fingers, all right? I tell jokes, okay? Fix your life. And get the hell away from me, okay? You know how insulting that was? That guy looked at me, he's like, hey, we're the same, right, finger boy? He says, no. You didn't just make a fingy friend, okay? All right, but you guys have been great. My name is Mike Green. Let's get your host back up here. Good, Allie.
That is Mike Green. You can catch him on season 3 of CBC's New Wave of Stand-Up. And if you're in Winnipeg, he'll be headlining at Rumors Comedy Club April 23rd and 24th. All right, one quick important announcement. Friends and fans of comedy in Prince Edward Island, I hope you're ready for our live recording in Charlottetown on Wednesday, April 17th. We're coming to the Trailside Music Hall with a terrific lineup of comedians, including Britt Campbell, Taylor Carver, Tanya Nicole, winner of the Hubcap Comedy Festival Amateur Competition, Catherine Cairns, Just for Laughs alumnus doing his second appearance on Laugh Out Loud, Sean Hogan, and beloved regular on CBC's The Debaters, Patrick Ledwell. Now, this show will sell out, so head to our website as soon as you can, cbc.ca/laughoutloud, to reserve your seats.
Hello, I'm Jess Milton. For 15 years, I produced The Vinyl Cafe with the late, great Stuart McLean. Every week, more than 2 million people tuned in to hear funny, fictional, feel-good stories about Dave and his family. We're excited to welcome you back to the warm and welcoming world of The Vinyl Cafe with our new podcast, Backstage at The Vinyl Cafe. Each week, we'll share two hilarious stories by Stuart, and for the first time ever, I'll tell you what it was like behind the scenes. Subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get back to our show. This next comic is one of my favorite young performers in this country. She's written for the shows Letterkenny and Shoresy and has been featured on CTV's Roast Battle Canada. Recorded live in Niagara-on-the-Lake, here is Ali Pierce.
Hello! How are you guys doing? What a night, huh? I'm having a great week. I'm having an amazing week. My boyfriend and I just celebrated our 4-year anniversary. Isn't that exciting? I know. It's very cool. They said it couldn't be done. He said that. rude. And we moved in together. And it's bad. You two know. It is bad. It is so hard to live with somebody because you have to keep things interesting. And my boyfriend and I have kind of figured it out. We like to role play. That's like, we like to role play that I have a job. That is his number one fantasy, and I'm never going to do it. I can't believe that's it. I was like, you don't want to like have a threesome? You don't want me to like bring another girl here? He was like, not unless she's a financial advisor. No. So I was like, okay. My boyfriend is a director. He directs TV commercials. And I am an actor, so kind of a power couple. Except that I have never booked an acting job. And I have auditioned for my boyfriend. So I'm like, who do I need to sleep with to get an acting job around here? Because it's not the director. And it's not his friend. So who is it? I'm like, I don't know where this myth came from that women are sleeping their way to the top. I can't even sleep my way onto a Triscuits commercial. I'm like, what is going on? We went home to visit my family for the holidays. That was nice, except that everybody in my family keeps asking my boyfriend and I when we're going to have kids. And I hate that question because I don't want to have kids with him. And it makes things awkward. And it's not that I don't like kids. Like, I think they're great, but I just don't think that I personally would be a very good mother because every time I hold a baby, I'm like, oh, I love you so much. But then I also want to squish their soft little heads to see what happens. You know, it's like getting to play God a little bit. You're like, you're bad at math now. You know, you love fedoras. You get it. I don't have to explain it to you. But we did have a pregnancy scare. That is a thing that happened to us very recently. I had to take Plan B. It was like a whole thing. My pharmacist was like, welcome back. get out your punch card. You know. All of my friends are pregnant. They're all having babies. It's amazing. And every time one of them gets pregnant, they do this thing. It's very sweet. They will text me a picture of their positive pregnancy test. Isn't that nice? And then I text it to every guy I've ever had sex with, you know, just to keep them on their toes. It's important. I'm so glad to have gotten the early days of my relationship out of the way. I don't miss that stuff at all. Because that's when you have, like, the awkward questions. You know, like, when my boyfriend and I first started dating, he was like, Allie, how many people have you had sex with? And I was like, oh, you want to have a fight. Okay. And I'm not, by the way, I'm not, like, ashamed of my number, because I don't know it. But, I wanted to answer him. I wanted to answer Ernest. So I'm standing there like Russell Crowe in A Beautiful Mind, like doing this insane math equation. He's like, this doesn't make any sense. I'm like, I know that, but who's got time to learn math when you're so busy having sex, you know? So we've been together for a while now, and I kind of like had this revelation. I was like, oh, I want to get married to him. Like, that was a thing that I kind of realized recently. And I asked him, I was like, do you want to get married? And he said yes. And then I put the gun down. No, he's very much on board. But I actually chose an engagement ring. Like, I chose the ring that I want. And I showed it to him, and it's only $300. It's like a very reasonably priced ring. And I'm sure most of you guys know this, but traditionally you're supposed to spend like 3 months' salary on an engagement ring. So my friend's engagement ring was $8,000. I was like, I don't need an $8,000 ring. I am very happy with a $300 ring. And then you can just e-transfer me the rest. That is fine. Or cash if you want to keep it off the books. I don't care what you do. I just feel like a $300 ring is like the perfect ring for my first marriage, you know? So feel good about it. I'm not trying to be pessimistic, by the way. It's just that a lot of marriages end in divorce. You know, my cousin got married, and then she called me a month later, and she was like, I'm getting a divorce. And I was like, I haven't even had my next period yet. So that's crazy. And she had a destination wedding. So I paid $2,000 just to watch a tragedy unfold by the ocean. I was like, okay. And I went to this wedding, I paid to go to this wedding, and I still gave her a cash gift. I was like, what is the return policy here? Your marriage was less than 30 days. Like, do I get a refund, you know? Guys, it was crazy. I honestly, like, I'm starting to feel like weddings are a pyramid scheme, you know? Because everybody at the top is making a whole bunch of money, and then their friends and family are like, I guess I'll invest, I don't know. And then 6 months later, you're like, what do you mean the company doesn't exist anymore? It's like, how do I get a refund? My cousin's fine, by the way. She's already dating somebody new. She's like, I think he's the one. It's like, he's not. He's the second one. So I feel like you guys are really siding with my cousin here. She's okay. I mean, I have exes. I get it. It happens. My ex-boyfriend, this was really bizarre. He really wanted to have kids with me, but he hated kids, and he kind of hated me. And I remember asking him, I was like, why do you want to have kids? And he was like, oh, because I want someone to take care of me when I'm older. And I was like, but you like cocaine and motorcycles. You don't have to worry about getting older. That is going to take care of itself. Not a big cocaine crowd. Got it. I don't do cocaine, so unless it's around. my ex and I broke up because he cheated on me. We bought a couch together, and he cheated on me with the girl who worked at the furniture store. Isn't that? Yeah. I confronted him. I was like, why would you do that? He was like, I was trying to get us a discount on a couch. I was like, I don't know how to tell you this, but as someone who's had sex with you, there's no way you were getting a discount. I'm sorry. It was not in the cards. Cheating makes people, I don't know, I feel like it makes people go crazy. Like, I was listening to a podcast the other day. It was about this guy. He cheated on his wife with his boss, and then his wife found out, and she killed his boss, and then she killed herself. Yeah. It's like, you forgot one. Like, what happened? That was on a true crime podcast. Does anybody here like true crime? Anybody like true crime? Yes. Okay. I love when the girlies say yes. I get so nervous when the men say yes. I'm like, that is research. I do love true crime, but I will say, I think that it, like, it's very bad for your brain because it fetishizes murderers. That is a thing. And I was listening to this podcast and I was like, oh, why do I want to date a serial killer? That feels insane. And then I'm like, oh, it's because the news makes them sound amazing, right? The news is like, Kathy's killer was smart, attentive, and charismatic, making him the perfect killer. It's like, yeah, or the perfect boyfriend, okay? Kathy sounds a little ungrateful, so... I don't know. I have to stop listening to this stuff because genuinely it's like making me like these weird guys. Like I was walking the other day, I was leaving a show and I was walking and this guy followed me for like 3 blocks. And I didn't know until this woman pulled over in her car and she was like, hey, are you okay? And I was like, oh yeah, why? And she's like, oh, that guy's following you. And I was like, what? And I'm like, that's not normal, you know? So I turned around and I was like, hey, can you please stop following me? And he was like, okay. And he crossed the street and I was like, oh, come back. You're such a good listener. And I was like, oh, I love him. So I listened to a lot of true crime stuff. I also listened to a lot of stuff about skincare. I'm like really interested in skincare. And I don't mean to generalize, but I feel like women do a lot more when it comes to skincare than men. You guys, men, you love your 3-in-1 products. I'm like, what is that? You know, it's not normal for something to wash your hair, your body, and your dishes, by the way. That is not, should be 3 separate things. But then you all have great skin. Like, it's unbelievable. And men don't have those lines between their eyebrows. That's annoying. I'm like, is it because you don't worry about getting abducted? Like, that is really annoying to me. But I will say, like, I had my ex-boyfriend, he always struggled with his skin, and he'd be like, why is my skin so dry? I'm like, because you haven't had a glass of water this year. That's why, okay? And from a science perspective, it was very weird, because his skin was so dry, but he lived in such a damp basement. I was like, what is happening here? Shocking. I actually, truly, I love a man who lives in a basement. I do. I'm a big fan. Because when you leave their apartment after you hook up, you're just like immediately moving up in the world. It's incredible. It's like, wow, all that sunshine. I went to go visit my boyfriend's parents over the holidays as well. And they live like 3 hours outside of the city. So every time we go visit them, we have to stay the night, which is really nice. It's great. But we have to sleep in my boyfriend's childhood bedroom, which is very weird because there are posters on the wall from when he was a teenager. And there is a poster of R. Kelly in there. Yeah, it's very spooky. And it's right next to a picture of him when he was a child. I'm like, what am I supposed to look at when I'm trying to fall asleep, you know? A picture of a known pervert? Or R. Kelly. Like, it's not good. All right, thank you guys so much. Have a good night.
That is Ali Pierce, and she's currently on tour with the comedians of the show Letterkenny. They're in BC right now and heading to Western Canada in the coming days. Head to letterkennytour.com for all the details. And that is it for our show today. My thanks to the Gas Station Arts Center, the Icebreakers Comedy Festival, and to sound engineers Kyle Kudasevich, Roberto Capretta, Brian Harder, and Laura Antonelli. A special thanks to my producer, Lee Pitts. And finally, thanks to you for listening to Laugh Out Loud on CBC Radio 1. My name is Ali Hassan, and I'll see you back here real soon.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.